This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on Old Dan. Come on, Dan. Let's go. Got to get up. Go get going. And get out there where folks are standing around waiting for the Old Trailblazer. And I'm happy to have you folks listening in this morning. I wish you'd holler across the back fence, tell folks that the Old Trailblazer is coming on. We get many letters and emails from folks saying, "Old Trailblazer, I just like your old cornpone expression. I like the way you tell the truth. I like the way you honor God with your services." And that's what we do. We're refuting error. And I thought about that this past week, talking about refuting error, blazing a trail to the hearts of sinners. And that's what we do. You know, the old timers used to go across the country. They'd blaze a trail for the next company to come by in their wagon and buggy. And that's what we do. We're cutting away the error. You say, what is the error of today, Trailblazer? The error is smooth preaching, easy believingism. You know, we've coined a word here, easy believingism. What is that? That's when the preacher preaches a sermon, maybe a good sermon, bad sermon, whatever. But he comes down to the close of the time and he says, any of you folks want to be saved? Are you ready to be saved tonight? Come on down here and shake my hand and you'll be saved. Come on down here and pray this prayer. Come on down here, we'll baptize. That's error, my friend. That's the Bible. That's not the way the Lord saves a sinner. You say, well, how so? Well, the Lord has to open a heart to let him see that first we need. Nobody wants to be saved until they see the need of it. Most folks that I know are complacent. Most folks I know are sitting on top of the world. Everything's good. Rent's paid up and got a good job and all those things. Even so now in these hard times, I can't find anybody that's seeking the Lord because they need the Lord. No. But every now and then, folks go to church and they say, come on down here and shake my hand. No, that's not salvation. That's what we're refuting, my friend. I'll take my eternal destiny on it. That salvation is the Holy Spirit coming there, awakening that sinner, opening your heart, letting you see. You can put whatever terms you want to on it, my friend, but you have to come to see that you need the Lord. Come to see that you need to be washed in the blood because you're filthy. Sinner, our righteousness that you're supposed to have is nothing but filthy or menstruous rags, my friend. And so we see that day by day that we're refuting error. And I know many folks won't have it. I get letters from folks calling me old crackpot that I ought to preach Jesus and all that stuff. But my friend, I'm preaching you the whole counsel of God. Christ come to seek and to save that which was what? Can you put the end of that sentence? Christ Jesus came to seek and to save that was lost. Lost, my friend. You know anybody's lost? You ever been lost? You ever took your place as a lost sinner? Crying for mercy? Coming my friend, I don't dictate to the Lord how to save a sinner, but I know what he does. I read his word, and also I know how he saved Apostle Paul. That man thought he was saved. He studied under one of the wisest men on the earth at that time. He had got all of the historicity of the Bible and all those things. He sat at the feet of those learned men and was trotting down the road going out there to kill and persecute the Christian. And as he riding along, the Lord said, "Whoa, whoa, Saul, whoa." And he fell from that old donkey or horse, whatever it was, and he looked up. Do you know what he said? Do you know what he said? "What would thou have me do, Lord? Lord, what would thou have me do?" Every sinner comes to call him Lord. Not Jesus, not sweet Jesus, not King Jesus, none of those things like many of our charismatic people do today. Oh, my friend, many of them are deceived. And I love them. They're gracious people, I know. But let's go back to our study. We were looking there about how we oftentimes walk out of God's will and in unbelief, and that's what maybe Isaac was doing. But listen, none of us are immune to those things. Isaac presents us a solemn warning of evil consequences which follow failure to judge and refuse our natural appetites. Oh, we have those natural appetites, don't we? Many of us have to hang our head in shame and confess that at times we have followed our fleshly appetites instead of confessing them and asking the Lord to forgive us and break the power of sin in our life, whatever they may be, and then give us a taste of spiritual discernment. Now, here's what happens, and I've seen it over and over. Here's what happens. It doesn't take overnight, but there in that slow dimming of the spiritual eye, if we don't sit constantly in judgment on our own fleshly appetites as God's children. Now, it's got to be a daily dying, a daily setting before us our fleshly appetites and judging them according to God's word and forsaking them and asking God to give us a victory over those things. Folks tell me, well, I don't know what to pray for. Pray for victory over the flesh, my friend. Even we go back and repeat the thing maybe over and over and over again, there should be that constant judging of our own self time and time again. My mouth causes me 9/10 of my trouble. And if I don't guess it wrong, your mouth causes you 9/10 of your trouble. And listen, and one fella told me lately, I'm still paying for mine. And all of us, and now how many times have said, did old David say, oh Lord, shut the mouth gate. That's Psalms 39:14, I believe it was. And listen, and how you and I need to ask the Lord to shut our mouths. A word spoken can never be recalled. You never know what harm it's going to do. It's better never to speak it. But how many of us do it? And I'm putting myself right down where we're all there together. Now, if we don't watch it, I'm talking about as one illustration. If we don't watch it, after a while, we become critical. In our criticism, then our spiritual life becomes dim, like Isaac was. The Bible says, and his eyes were dim. He wasn't talking about his natural eye. They may have been dim, too. But the reference there, inference is his spiritual time. And it's a gradual paralyzing that doesn't take place all at one time. Maybe over a period of years, every few days, he'd say, Esau, go kill me a deer. Make me some venison that I like. Not like I like, but like I love. And that's what he said that morning in view of the fact that he was going to give him the covenant blessing. Instead of spending the night in prayer and meditation, he wanted to set his belly full of that good savory venison. And then with a belly full, he was to walk out and lay his hands upon his son and confer him the covenant blessing. Brother, we can't do it. We just can't do it. If our fleshly lust, which wars against the soul, are not mortified, the fine edge of our spiritual life will be blunted, and we can't help it. If we live to eat instead of eat to live, our spiritual venison becomes defective. I'll tell you what you can't do, and I can't do. You and I can't sit down at a table and fill our bellies full of food until we can't eat anymore, till our appetites are satisfied, and then go off and have a great prayer meeting. You just can't do it. I'll tell you that right now. Same way it is with the television. I don't say much about it, but you can't sit and watch the television all night long, half a night, and then go out to a prayer meeting. I challenge you to do it. You cannot do it. It's impossible. A discernment is a byproduct of our salvation, and it's the fruit and result of denying self and following Christ. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's John 8:12. We need to put that on our refrigerator, don't we? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, there's a hush here over us, seemingly. The Spirit of the Lord is carrying that home to our heart. I hope it's to your heart out there in our radio audience. And listen, I'm hoping the Lord is taking some of this home. Is it? Are you crying out, Lord, is it I? Have I dimmed my spiritual life, my fleshly appetite? Moses' eyes were not dim. That's the reason he rejected the honor of being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's the reason he saw the brick-making Hebrews, slaves of Egypt, were people of God, the object of God's sovereign favor, and he cast his lot in with them. Now, let's look at something else. Some of you who want to be saved, you call me, write me. The reason you're not coming hastily, running to the Lord, is because of your fleshly appetite. I stake my eternal destiny on that, my friend. You're not willing to deny. To deny the flesh, to deny that appetite, and therefore you're not willing to join yourself unreservedly to God's people. Now, let's do some thinking along that line. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of the venison. He loved him because he did eat of the venison. Now, isn't that something? That's Genesis 25:28. Now, that's a peculiar statement. He loved him because he ate of his venison. He didn't love him for what he was. Many of us love individuals as long as they have plenty of money and we can get our hands out, But the very moment they quit giving, then we're ready to kick them out. Isn't that so? I wish our government could learn that. Oh, my friend, I've had to learn that. And I'm sure you've had to learn it. Just like the old prodigal son, when he left home, he had a sack full of money when he sold all those animals that his father gave him. And it wasn't long before it ran out. And his friends left him. My friend, maybe you'd take a lesson in life from the old trailblazer. Oh, my friend, I've had that experience of being the guy that bought everything. Let's all buy another round. Let's do those things. But when your money's gone, folks leave you. Folks leave you, my friend. And that's what happened when you dwell on the flesh. Now, therefore, Isaac was brought under the influence of one who could not help him spiritually. Now, there's a danger. You listen. There's a danger. The danger with you and with me is that we're brought under the influence of one who cannot help us spiritually. Isaac was brought under the influence of Esau, who could not help him spiritually. And Isaac overlooked all of Esau's failure, his rebellion, his despising the birthright. Isaac knew he despised the birthright. Isaac knew he was a profane man. Isaac knew he had no spiritual appetite. Isaac knew all those things. And we're going to look at that a little more in our next study. But I just want to take a moment here to thank you folks for helping us with the broadcast. And I know that most folks have an impression about radio preachers. Oh, well, all they're looking for is money. No, we're not doing that, my friend. We ask you to help us with the broadcast if you can. And I guarantee you this, every nickel, every penny that comes here goes into getting out the radio broadcast. Most of the money we have here spent is for radio time. It's very expensive. And I've been criticized for taking money. I don't take one penny out of this ministry. I don't have a salary. I don't do those things. I pay for my own way. And the Lord blessed me with income years ago from a little old business that I'd owned. And the Lord is still blessing me. And I think pastors ought to be paid. I do. I really do. Where they can get by. Not lavishly, no. But a good, meager income, my friend. And like I read a story about one of the old divines. They was getting a new preacher or something. And the board that they were talking to said, one of them said, pray and said, Lord, you keep him humble and we'll keep him poor. Well, that's not the right attitude, my friend. If you have a gracious pastor, you need to help him every way you can. Help him with finances. Help make sure he's got a good, adequate salary. Make sure that he's if he got anything he needs to do, that you need to help him. If he's in a condition like me, can't get out and do much. If he's old like me, oh, you say, oh, Trevor, you don't sound like you're that old. Well, it don't make no difference. I'll tell you, I was born in 1929, and that's when the Great Depression started. And a lot of times I blame myself for it. Must have been a terrible year on the farm that year. But I'm just being facetious. You know that. The Lord's been gracious to me all of these years. But I do appreciate every one of you that helps us with the broadcast. And I like to hear from you. If you hear me, I wish you'd write me and let me hear from you. Email me. My email address is pastor@radiomission.org. My phone number, area code 225-664-8658. That's at the office. They'll call me in there and give me the phone if you call me. If not, I'll call you back. But my mailing address, let me give you that and you write me. Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785. And if you would, help us with the broadcast, would you? Pray for me. Goodbye and God bless you.